today on Real Radio.
God wants it out of your life. He wants to answer you. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted. He's saying do this. Forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. What a great word. As we enter this new year, we need to be practicing this very thing.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, we bring you more of Pastor Jack's year-end messages. And as we begin a new year, a common question in the minds of believers is often, what is God's will for my life? Or what will the Lord put in my path? And so forth. Well, because we have access to God's written word, the answer, we find, is far more simple than a lot of us think. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a message called, This is God's Will for You This Year.
All year long, God's going to know the answer to the question that arises in your life. So you remember that. God knows the answer. He has it. The issue of the life that you're living, the question comes up. God has already anticipated the issue because he already has the answer. And this is part of our Christian living. I don't know about you, that brings me comfort. My thing is to discover the answer. You know, this is kind of personal, but if you come to our house right now, our front door, up until a few days ago, our front door was painted Federal Blue. It's an old colonial color. It looks awesome. Federal Blue. It's not that color anymore. Why? Because Lisa and I are having the house painted. Why? Because it's falling apart. It's way overdue. And so when you come to the door, we've got, I'm learning a lot here now. We have six different areas of the door painted with swatch. The door's turned into a six-paneled swatch of color. See, I'm in touch with my feminine side. I'm getting this. And one is one color, one is the other color. And you know, the colors look awesome on computer. And then you go down to the paint store and they give you the samples and it's, I don't know. But okay, we'll take them back. And then you put them, the painter puts them on the doors and he wants us to make a decision. I get that part. But we're looking at it and it's like, I don't know. It didn't look like that in the magazine. It didn't look like that on that house on the TV. And all of these different things, and we're still not exactly sure about the color. And so our front door looks like a gigantic gift wrapped with multicolored paper, you know? And you look at it. What does that door speak of? Indecision. Different directions. Not sure. Trying to make up our minds. Guess what God knows already? We don't know. Exactly. God already knows the color the door is going to be. We're going to have to pick a color, and the color we pick is the color God knew it was going to be before we've even concluded. I like that about our God. Nothing can come to your life without it being seen first and filtered by your Heavenly Father. He sees it all. Realizing that God has the answer. It's pretty exciting to realize that. Jesus said this concerning our decision-making. He used an interesting word that we need to be reacquainted with rightly in the Bible. In John 7:24, Jesus says, do not judge according to appearance. Interesting word because Jesus never said do not judge. He says don't judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Godly decision-making. That's what it means. Did you know that all of us as Christians are to judge with righteous decision-making? We're never to condemn anybody. That's reserved for God. But the Bible says that we are to exercise judgment biblically based. One old scholar, Albert Barnes, put it this way, that we are called to make God-like decisions in our lives. That's a great statement. We are called to make God-like decisions. What does that mean? That means we let the Word of God make the decisions for us. That means we choose, we conduct ourselves, we speak, we say, we decide based upon what the Bible has to say. In all of that dynamic, our emotions get involved. We feel things. It's something that's bouncing around our head. And by the way, while I'm on that topic, I should probably mention this. We as people, I am more strict with me than I am with you. I'm harder on me than I am on you. And that's okay. That's okay. That's self-examination. We are commanded in Scripture to do that to ourselves on a daily basis, but there's a fine line. Before I get to the fine line, there's a flip side. The flip side is if I'm not like that, there's a tendency to excuse everything I do and blame you for everything. That's a form of insanity. That's not healthy. Everybody's wrong but me. The country's wrong but me. That's crazy. God says of us that we are to examine ourselves to determine whether we are in the faith or not. Now, some of us do that to a greater scale than the other. And because I came from a very, very straight, hard line of life and thinking, I have a tendency to impose upon myself very, very strong restrictions. Here's the danger with that. If you're like this, self-examination's fine. The moment it crosses over to the true meaning of introspection, that's not fine. Introspection is when you take your eyes and you look inside of yourself and you stay that way. See, self-examination is like this. God, I want to live this year for your glory, and I want to do great things for you, Lord, but I have often failed miserably, Lord, and these are the weaknesses of my life, and these are the areas where I need strength and I need help. That's all very good, church. We should all be doing that. The moment I go from that to, boy, am I a loser of a Christian. You know what? I'm just going to go sit over here in the corner. Listen, I'm not going to sign up and do anything for God because I know I'll fail. I'll raise my hands and I'll read my Bible, but because of fear and I'll mess stuff up, I'm just going to just sit down here and I'm going to wait to the end. I'm just going to die of old age or for the rapture to come. I'm just going to wait. You know, that's introspection. That's when we look inside and it goes dark. That's the source of spiritual depression. We get our eyes off of what God can do through a broken vessel, which is a great thing. We get our eyes off of God. We put our eyes on ourselves and say, well, I know I'm saved, but I can't be used by God. That is unbelief. You're saved, but you're full of doubt. Be very careful. We all walk that fine line when we begin to excuse ourselves out of the scene. God can't use me. You know what word, by the way, is a modern-day word? Timidity. Timidity, according to the Bible, is a sin. We are saying God can use everybody but me. God can do whatever he wants to do through others, but not through me. We are to look inside and to see our weaknesses and then turn around and say, but Lord, you're great and I'm willing. Here we go. And move forward with that. That's making the right decisions. God's got the answer. We self-judge, and that's a good thing. But you got to be careful that you don't go dark and move into that area of spiritual depression. Secondly, we see this. Knowing that God wants to give you the answer, he not only has the answer for you this year to come, but he wants to give you the answer. Listen, I'm convinced of this in my life. This is one reporter's opinion. But I have found out in my life that God always wanted to answer my prayer more than I wanted it to be answered. I have found out that he's wanted to give me the answer more than I wanted to receive it. I wanted it, but I didn't realize to the degree he wanted to give it. He's very generous this way, that you and I would make the right decisions this year to come, knowing that God wants to give you the right answer. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 says, get rid of all bitterness. God wants that out of your life. Do you want it out of your life? Does someone's name make you bitter? Does someone's, the thought of them kind of cause you to grind your teeth or whatever, or you cringe? God wants that out of your life. The question is, do you want it out of your life? Make the right decision and tell him, I want that out of my life. Rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Listen, God wants it out of your life. He wants to answer you. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted. He's saying, do this. Forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. What a great word. As we enter this new year, we need to be practicing this very thing. This is important. Are you taking notes? It's going to be important in a moment. You're going to say, can you back up? No, we're going to keep going ahead. The next thing is expecting God that he will give you the answer. So he has the answer to our questions this year to come. He wants to give it to you. So what's the step of faith on our part? You can leave this building, but I want you to leave it with this expectation in your heart that God is going to give me the answer to all of my questions this year. He's going to do it. You know, there's three answers God gives to our issues, right? That's yes, no, and the worst of all, yeah, is wait. Could be a minute, could be a year, could be 10. He will answer. But you can expect God to give you the answer. Listen to this. Proverbs, first of all, Proverbs chapter 4, just read the whole chapter later. It is awesome. It's a great, great proverb for the new year. But verse 2 says, I give you good doctrine. Okay, so what is it? Well, according to our study for this time, skip ahead, Proverbs 4, 22. For they are life, what is? God's words, God's teaching, God's doctrine. For they are life to those who find them. Notice they're there already. God's answers are in the Bible. Find them. And health to all their flesh. God's word will bring calm and peace to your soul. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs forth the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Notice this. God says, put it away from you. Your mouth that tells lies, he's saying, stop it. And a perverse lips, put it away, far from you. Verse 25, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder, think. Think it through, the path of your feet. Young people today, listen to this. And let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. What a great proverb. Proverb 4. Give that to your kids, your junior high or your high schoolers. Give it to your college student. What a great verse. God is saying, all right, here's what I want you to do. Now watch this, everybody. Are you listening? Here's what I want you to do, God is saying. Put your eyes straight ahead. Don't look left or right. Get your feet going on the right path. I've told you the right thing to do. Do it. This is between us. Listen, always. So it always happens. I'll meet with people either in the foyer, courtyard, store, and somebody will say, oh, Pastor, I'm glad I bumped into you. You know what? My life's just falling apart. It's just a mess. So much trouble going on. Well, first thing I know is there's some decision. Before this goes any longer, there's going to be some decision issues that I'm going to hear about. So why is your life falling apart? Watch this. I don't know. No, yeah, you do know. By the way, it's fun getting older, because when you get older, you can just talk to young people. You can just let them have it. You know what I mean? Now, in my mind, I have them over my knee, and I'm spanking them in my mind. What's the old, you need to apply the Board of Education to the seat of knowledge? Is that what it is? Anyway, so here's a kid, 28, 29, 30, 33-year-old kid, saying, oh, my life's a mess, everything's falling apart, I don't know what God's doing. Well, what do you bring God into this for? Well, what do you mean? Well, what's going on with you? Oh, I got a ticket. For what? Well, it's speeding. What else has happened? Well, I got arrested. And why'd you get arrested? Well, because... I mean, it wasn't my stuff, man. It was somebody in the back seat with possession. Uh-huh. And you don't know why God's doing this stuff. See, God gets the rap all the time. And the story begins. I've heard it 1,000 times. Man, it was just one of my friends. What? My friends had this stuff. I got arrested. Why was he your friend? And by this time now, it's like, they're getting a little frustrated. Dude, man, I came for some comfort. No, you're not going to get any comfort. Because you know what? Listen, the Bible is good for many things, but one of them is, the Bible is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. And dude, you're a little bit too comfortable in blaming other people and realizing that whatever kind of life you live, whatever seeds you throw out into the ground, they're going to sprout and grow, and you are now reaping what you're sowing. So here's the deal. What you want to do is start making the right decisions beginning now. And a lot of people today don't want to hear that. But that's the only answer. Make the right decisions. God's got the answer. He wants to give you the answer. Expect the answer. God is good. And he says, walk in the right path. When you know that this is the wrong temptation coming your way, God says, run from it. Get away from it. Listen, if you're at the drinking fountain and Bubbles is batting her eyes at you, run! If some guy comes down the street and you have a drinking problem and he's got Jim Beam written across his chest, run! Are you with me? You understand that? Oh man, I don't know what happened. Yes, you do! You know exactly how this happened. You didn't run. And God simply says, like a wonderful parent, don't do that. Which leads us to argument number two. This is God's will for you this year, is that you do the right thing. Us as a church, we're to do the right thing. You as a family, you as a husband, you as a wife, you as a single person, you're to do the right thing. You're to make the right decisions. And making the right decisions, this is what's cool. Now look, this is going to raise some eyebrows. I understand that. You and I do not, now that we're Christians, we do not have to make mistakes. If we just wait and follow his word. That's a big statement, I know. But it just goes to show you, rather than putting God on the spot, it puts us on the spot. Because have we not all made mistakes? Yes. Why did we make them? Because we didn't wait on the Lord. We didn't wait for him to answer. I felt like it was the thing to do. And do you still feel that way now? No. Then God wasn't in it. I've had people tell me, God told me to move. Listen, in the foyer, people will come. God told, hey, Pastor, God told me to move. Goodbye. It was nice having you here. Make sure wherever you go to a good Bible teaching church. That's my pat response. And then, how do you explain this? God told them to go. Then they couldn't get a job. They couldn't find a church. And they wind up coming back and moving in with family and being a burden to their entire family. And then the question is said, I don't know why God's doing this. My dear friend, God was not in it at all. Well, you didn't say anything to me. I will never say anything to you when you tell me God told you to move. You think I'm going to contradict what you think you're hearing from God? Don't do a thing without chapter and verse. If you don't, you're going to make a decision based upon your emotions and your feelings. And when that happens, you will turn and you will say, this new year when things flop, I don't know why God's doing this. He's not confused. God knows exactly what he's doing. You and I will make mistakes when we're not listening and we're not obeying him. So that second argument is to do the right thing. He says there in verse 8, to love mercy. To love mercy. The word mercy, merciful, both in Greek and Hebrew, is the word to act compassionately toward others. Boy, that's a big open-ended definition, is it not? To act compassionately towards others, to be toward others tenderly, softly, caring toward others, to feel for them as if you were them. Listen, if you attend this church, we are under orders by God Almighty to go into this new year being merciful to those that are in need. Jesus said in Luke 6:36, therefore be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. Is God not merciful to us? Oh yeah, then we are to be merciful towards others. This means that you and I extend that to them. Now you might say, and I understand this feeling. Somebody says to you, please forgive me. I understand that. Watch, if somebody says, please forgive me, you don't know if they're telling you the truth or not, right? And listen, just because you extend forgiveness or mercy towards them doesn't mean you take them home with you. You can forgive them. You can say, listen, I forgive you. Listen, there's a lot of broken marriages that need to hear this, for example. I can't stand my ex. Well, that's a sin. You don't know what she or what he, I don't need to know, I don't want to know. But you can't live like that. God says to the Christian, extend mercy to him and mercy to her. What does that mean? That means as much as it is possible, you live in your understanding with them. You treat them kindly. And even if kindly simply means, if I see you, I will wave to you. That's as far as we can take it. I'm not ready for anything else. Then that's fine. Are you with me? But if you see them, you don't start to load your double-barrel shotgun up. That's not mercy. You understand that? But there's a mercy to be extended by the Christian. And when you see somebody in need, you're to help them. The Bible tells us for this year to come, listen to this, 1 John 3:17 and James 2. 1 John 3:17 says, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need, imagine, 1 John's written to the Christians. So he says, if a Christian has worldly goods, which we all do, and he sees another Christian in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In other words, don't talk about it. Do it. You see, do it. Do the right thing. See somebody in need. Don't talk about it. It gets stronger. James chapter 2. Are we all okay right now? James 2:14. James is a spiritual stud, by the way. You know, in church history, when James died, in church history, it's not in the Bible, in church history, James was known to pray so much that what was noted about James' physical body when they wrapped his body for burial is James's knees were completely calloused. They said he had knees like a camel because he spent so much time in prayer. Wow. James 2:14 says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Technically, can faith alone save him? You see, faith and works. Faith is what bears out works, true faith. If you say you believe in God and there's no works in your life, then you don't have real faith. Works among you and I qualifies among you and I your real faith. Works confirms our faith. You're not saved by your works. That's impossible. You're saved by faith. But if you have true faith will produce good deeds. Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked, can you imagine? Oh, hey, dude, what? Oh, you're a Christian? Oh, we go to the same church and you're naked? And destitute of food, you're hungry? Wow, bummer. Dude, you're naked and you're hungry and we go to the same church. Wow. And one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled. But you do not give them the things which are needed for their body. What does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Can you imagine? Hey, man, you look hungry. I'm starving. And you're kind of naked. Yeah, I don't have any clothes. I got robbed. And I think I saw you at church. Yeah, I go to second service. Wow. I tell you what, I'll pray for you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called This is God's Will for You This Year. It's a straightforward message that looks at passages that speak of exactly that, what the Almighty wills for His people and why. We'll continue with more of This is God's Will for You This Year on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, of course, tomorrow is the first day of 2016, and if you're thinking about a worthwhile New Year's resolution, here's a good one for you, the one-year Bible. We at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills begin reading the one-year Bible at the start of every year, and we invite Real Radio listeners to join us. It really is a terrific way to hide God's Word in your heart, as the psalmist put it. You can purchase your own one-year Bible at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.